Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Measuring Post, a place to learn and grow together. I'm Joe Massa, and today I've got another very wonderful guest, someone I'm really excited to talk to today because this is a topic we have yet to cover on The Measuring Post. But first, let me introduce, she is a U.S. Air Force veteran, a best-selling author, certified integrative health practitioner, and the founder and president of Autism Health, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. She's also known as Warrior Mom, and I'll get into that in just a little bit, but that's a title that she's earned through over 17 years of relentless advocacy, not only for autism in general, but because of her son, Noah, who does have autism. She's also helped countless families over the years. She's the best-selling author of Warrior Mom, and that has become a lifeline for people struggling for answers in this crowded space. So with that in mind, please welcome to The Measuring Post, Ms. Tracy Sleplevec. Thank you so much for coming on. How are you today?
I'm good, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Yeah, I'm really excited to learn a little bit more about not only your journey into this space of autism, but how you're helping families now get into, you know, finding answers and solutions for this. So first, tell me a little bit just about, you know, your background. Obviously, you're an Air Force veteran. And tell us kind of how you got into the world of autism.
Well, I got into the world of autism when my son Noah was diagnosed with autism, obviously. In 2006, when he was 18 months old, we took him in for a well baby visit, and he received his MMR and varicella vaccine. And within 24 hours, he developed measles and had a pretty high grade fever for about 4 or 5 days. And, you know, back then they tell you to rotate Tylenol and Motrin. And from there, I started to see a regression. And this isn't it's not a rare story. It's a story of thousands of parents, the same exact story. My kid met all of his milestones, took him in for his well baby visit. And then, you know, after the MMR, and, you know, some of us had the varicella as well, you know, they begin to regress. So over the next 6 months or so after that, Noah regressed into his state of autism. He lost any speech that he had had, and he had quite a few baby words and some language. He also had sign language because I had done baby signs with him. He lost that as well. He lost a lot of his motor skills, so we used to call him our little monkey. And, you know, the kid who used to climb all over everything couldn't climb all over anything. And, you know, his motor skills started to fade. And then we lost some cognitive function. So it was like the lights were out. Nobody was home. And I spent the next 2 years trying to figure out what was wrong with my kid, asking questions, going to evaluations where they were losing my paperwork, and so on and so forth. And all I kept getting from the pediatrician was, this is normal. It's all normal. Everything's normal. But I'm here to say that regression is not normal. And everything that pretty much happened to my child and so many others, unfortunately, is not normal. So then, you know, over time, we implemented biomedical intervention and Noah just really started to thrive. We started with healing the gut. Then we did some tests, some blood tests and urine tests. The urine determined, you know, his heavy metal toxicity load. And so we did some intervention for that and, you know, some supplementation. But number one thing was to clean the gut. There's a lot of what we call biomedical intervention, and that's addressing the underlying conditions associated with whatever ails. And so at that time, we were addressing Noah's underlying conditions in all of it, in almost every single one of us. It begins in the gut. So if you don't address gut issues first, usually a lot of the treatments and therapies that they use are less effective if you still have a messed up gut. So we always say gut first. Gut is your second brain. It's connected to your brain via your nervous system. So if your gut's inflamed, your brain's inflamed. And, you know, moving forward, Noah just really started to thrive. He did very well with intervention. You know, we did hyperbarics. We did stem cell therapy. We've done so much. And he gained progress with just about everything. And today he's 20 years old. He's very independent. He, other than the fact that he lives with us, but I think that's the cost of living in California, unfortunately. Yeah. And it's so much. Can he take care of himself? But he works so he could travel. He loves to travel the world, and he travels all on his own. Doesn't need his mom no more. And he's very independent. He works, he drives. And, you know, everything I ever wanted for him, but everything I was told he would never be able to do.
Yeah, and I think that's so important of a lesson to take from this is that just because a doctor says this is incurable or they'll never achieve, you don't have to accept that answer. And I love that you went to bat and you're the warrior, Mom. You really showed up and decided to tackle this on your own and find different things that might be helpful. But this is actually very interesting because I was unaware. Do you see gut being a problem with a lot of autistic patients? Is that like an underlying thing? This is the first time I've ever heard that correlation. Obviously, your digestive system is so extremely important for all areas of your health. But is there a direct correlation that you've noticed into the autistic spectrum?
Absolutely. So a lot of people in general, even, you know, us normal neurologically functioning individuals have issues with gut. And so that's where it all begins. And environmental toxins, not just vaccines, but glyphosate exposure, volatile organic compounds, all those attack the good bacteria in our guts. So that bifidobacteria and cause, you know, damage to the gut lining. So, you know, we always say that you can have pre-genetic disposition for just about anything, including autism, and all those pre-genetic factors that can predispose one to vaccine injury or some sort of injury from environmental toxins like MTHFR, mitochondrial disorder, all those different types of things. And, you know, that's why you have those that define getting vaccinations and then those that don't. But what people don't realize is that vaccines also cause asthma, allergies, any type of paralysis. You know, polio is just named, you know, several different things these days. And since the 70s, the only polio that we've ever had is vaccine induced. And what people don't realize is back then, you know, polio was starting to become eradicated just by cleaning up the water system. So you can thank your plumber, not your vaccine manufacturer. And then they implemented vaccines and the rate of polio started to go up. But, you know, outside of what caused, you know, injury, because there's always a causation to just about everything. I always like to focus on the healing part of it. You know, what can we do? I'm a solutions girl. So what can we do to fix the underlying condition or fix the problem?
Yeah. And you see a lot more of the vaccines because there's so many more that we're given nowadays, the younger kids. So, you know, obviously there has been an increase in cases of autism. So I know that this is a very hot topic issue. There's always both sides of the fence that are very passionate. No vaccines or all vaccines. It's kind of like a very little gray area. But I mean, statistically, the numbers are there in support of the argument that vaccines definitely have a correlation to higher levels of being on the spectrum. Would you say that you've noticed that in your research?
Absolutely. And recently, I don't know if you saw that on the 19th, which was last week, the CDC updated their website and it says vaccines and autism. And it says that the statement that vaccines do not cause autism, there's no evidence that that statement is true. So, and they said there is no research that clearly states that, you know, solid research that hasn't been, you know, fixed or tainted, that clearly states that vaccines don't cause autism. So there's always a some sort of causation. And I really like that Bobby Kennedy is in his team, everyone below him in HHS is really getting to the root cause of what's going on.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, you can read between the lines on that. But for the CDC to put something like that on their website is pretty powerful. I think there's a lot of inferences that can be made based off of that simple statement that they're just saying, hey, we don't know, you know, it, as opposed to the years and years before that, where it was like, this definitely is not causing autism. Now they're going, well, we don't know for sure. So, you know, that's like some egg on the face of the CDC a little bit. And I think it's powerful to have that have happened recently. And I'm sure that, you know, Robert Kennedy's a big part of that because, you know, as you can tell, he's leaving no stone unturned right now and really flipping the health industry on its head. And I think there's a lot of great things that are coming from that, including removing all the garbage from our food and, you know, really trying to eliminate those toxins that don't need to be in there. And many other countries have already abolished all those things for years and years, yet we're still the only nation that's, you know, pumping ourselves full of these carcinogens and different things that are destroying us. So, you know, kudos to him for doing that, but also for the people that are just out there trying to discover and be advocates for this research and the truth and finding underlying causes like gut health. And I have a question on the gut health. So when you're addressing that, what is the best way to get a healthy gut back, your biome back? Is it the probiotics? Is it just change in diet? What's sort of the game plan that you did that you saw the most success with?
Three little words. Eat real food. If you can pick it, pluck it, grow it, skin it, you can eat it. And I'll tell you, it was a matter of no processed foods or minimally processed foods, right? You know, even rice comes in a package. But to make sure that you're eating real food, that it's the, you know, whatever. If somebody chooses to eat something in a package, if it contains more than five ingredients or there's something there that you do not understand, especially the words natural flavors, because that can mask so many different things. Those are things to look at. But we are the sickest country in the world. And we have very low standards, or we have in the past, or we're getting there. But we have very low standards when it comes to what's FDA approved and, you know, on toxins and ingredients and foods, and not just foods, but products. You know, there's so many different products that contain carcinogenic ingredients that they put in skin creams and lotions and you know, deodorants and all these different things that we don't even realize that, you know, go onto our skin. But the number one thing is to really take a look at it. I'm not here to scream, you know, anti-vax. I'm all for informed consent. I want people to know what is going into their body, no matter what it is, whether it's food, vaccines, you know, no matter what, and to be aware of the of all the side effects and what could happen if they do that.
Yeah, I think that's the right word. The informed part is what I think most of us are missing. And whether it's by default or by design, it's hard to say, but those are the kind of things you just simply don't look at. Like, I've never once looked at the ingredients of my deodorant, and maybe I need to. And, you know, but it's powerful to understand that we do consume so many things, not only from our food, but through our skincare, through the phones that we hold in our hands. Everything is putting something into our body. And, you know, we just sort of treat it as an afterthought. But really, it's amazing that so many of us stay as healthy as we do, as long as we do, because of all these things that are in our environment and in our food supply and in our vaccines and stuff that we just simply don't know. So I think it's really important to pull the veil up on that. And I love that Kennedy is doing a lot of that right now and saying, like, why do you need this food coloring in your food? This causes cancer. You don't need it. Well, it makes it pretty. Who cares? It's killing you. Like, there are certain things that I think just as a consumer nation, we take for granted, but our health should not be at the risk of that. So I think it's really important to fight these battles. And I love that because of that, you have become the warrior mom. So I would love to hear how did the name come about? Obviously, I can tell you went to war for, you know, your son, Noah. But where did the warrior mom mentality come from? And tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, initially, I think the warrior mom mentality came from the fact that, you know, my mom was never, she never really babied us as kids. It was, you know, suck it up, you're fine. And so the day that my son was diagnosed with autism, I saw my, so my naturopathic doctor was, his office was adjacent to ours, and I had to run back to the office, and I saw him in the hallway, and I always say there are no accidents. God truly sends me angels when I need them the most. And so I saw Dr. Burke in the hallway, and we were talking. I told him that Noah was diagnosed with autism, and then he backed up for a moment, and he looked at me, and he said, Noah is going to be fine. You need to go home and you need to do your research, because kids with autism are making great strides with biomedical intervention. Now, I had no idea what biomedical intervention was back then. So I quickly, you know, that was my fork in the road. I could wallow in my own self-pity, woe is me, my kid has autism, or I can suck my tears back up in my eyes and get to work. And I did. And during that time, and this is where the warrior mom part comes in, my husband, who's been battling against big insurance for, I think, over 35 years now, wound up in a smear campaign on the front page of the LA Times. And it tanked his business of 20 years and his reputation. And it was all false reporting. And from that, we lost, you know, not just the business, but our house went into foreclosure. Same year Noah was diagnosed with autism. I had a couple surgeries, but when somebody told me that my son was going to live a normal life someday, I didn't allow anything to stand in my way. But I can tell you, over the years, I've heard many excuses from parents. I can't afford. You know, it's too hard. That one I don't understand. I can't afford, I bartered for treatments. I negotiated. I sold everything I owned. If I could pick it up and put it on eBay, if it wasn't a couch, it went, it was gone. I had no attachment, and I still have no attachment to Steph. So I got rid of it all. And I was able to pay for all my son's treatments, even stem cell therapy, although I short sailed my house for that one. But it doesn't matter. So I wanted parents to know not just a story of hope and inspiration, but also a story of triumph, and that, you know, even when times are bad, and we're always going to have those bad times. You know, it's like a roller coaster ride in life. But that if you set a clear intention to create something, you can create just about anything. So that's kind of where the warrior mom came in.
I mean, what a great story, though. And I love your mentality on it. Things are things. You know, you can't replace Noah. You can get a new couch. You can get a new camera, whatever you sold. You know, but that's a real intentional action that you took. I commend you on that, because I know a lot of parents, I think, would do the same. You know, I would like to think that if I was ever in the situation where one of my children were in a dire situation, I would move the earth to figure out the solution. But to actually see somebody do it, it's very honorable. So I love that. And I love you have such this amazing background that really helped you, I think, be a really good leader and advocate moving forward from this. You have a bioenvironmental engineering experience in the Air Force, correct? And then you also have a complementary and alternative medicine and board certification as an integrative health practitioner. That's a mouthful, but that's a lot of fancy words to say that you're highly qualified to understand all this stuff. So sort of give me the quick background on how that experience in the Air Force taught you about, you know, the toxins and the things in our life that are causing these issues.
So I really think I didn't learn until I started to dig deep. So I got out of the Air Force in 99, and I did do bioenvironmental engineering, which was industrial hygiene, environmental protection. So I did shop visits. I evaluated the hazards in the workplace and I wrote the proper PPE for them to wear. And which, you know, wearing a paper mask makes no sense to me. And from that, I gained the knowledge of what are your volatile organic compounds in your environment. So a lot of the, you know, any type of toxins in your environment, especially work environment related, I was well aware of, and even noise exposure and all those different things, clean water, so on and so forth. But I never really dug deep into what was in our food, because that wasn't the toxins that I was exploring. When you're doing a workplace visit, you don't really, it's not about what's in the food. I never had that experience. And then when Noah was diagnosed with autism, I was a psychology major. So quickly, I switched that. But immediately I had to get my PhD in how to heal my kids. So I was very self-taught. At first, I went to conferences. I read a lot of books, and I did my own research on how to heal my kid. And that was number one. And then I went back to school for alternative medicine. But, you know, in the long run, it's, you know, I think partly Noah probably saved my life as well. There are no accidents in life. You know, we're on this beautiful and perfect journey, and it's exactly where we're supposed to be at the exact, you know, perfect moment. But we always have to remind ourselves, what do we get to learn from this experience? And, you know, how do we choose to move forward? Because how we move forward is always a choice. And, you know, I had a choice. I could have accepted the narrative of my son wasn't ever going to live a normal functioning life, or, you know, go the direction that I did. And because of that, Noah lives a fully functioning life. So, you know, all those things, all those decisions, you know, play into, you know, the outcome of what happens. But in the end, I truly feel I got healthier as well, you know, because I didn't make my son do anything that I wouldn't do myself. And in the end, I feel like he saved my life as well.
And I love that you turned all of this self-knowledge and research and experience, you put it into a book. And again, the book is called Warrior Mom, Hope, Story, and Roadmap all in one. It's a memoir, it's a guidebook, and it's the protocol that you used for Noah. And honestly, it was endorsed by Robert Kennedy Jr. also, which is really, really cool because, you know, just as of last week or the couple weeks ago, they did a press conference even talking about autism. So I think this is going more to a national stage, and to have someone like Robert Kennedy endorse your book, not only does that have to feel pretty cool, but I mean, I think that that's a testament in itself of how valuable the information in this book is. So how did you get him to endorse the book, and where can we find that book?
So it's Warrior Mom, A Mother's Journey in Healing Her Son with Autism. You can find it anywhere where books are sold. In person, it's in a few Barnes & Noble. You can find it online anywhere. Most commonly is probably Amazon. You can also get the Audible on Amazon. And I didn't narrate that myself. And how did I get Bobby to... That was the easiest endorsement I got, believe it or not. I reached out. I saw him at an event and I said, hey, you know, I just wrote this book, and that was in 2022. And since then, you know, we've become very close friends with Bobby Kennedy. We hosted an event here at our home for him for a fundraiser for his campaign. And he is just a very genuine and loving individual. And he doesn't know how to say no. That's the great part, unless he can't say yes. Now he's in that position as to where, you know, his yeses and nos aren't always his decision. But yeah. I know his heart and his soul is in it. He's doing everything for the right reasons. And I know a lot of what he can and can't say is also controlled by an administration. So although I voted for Trump, I have a huge belief in Bobby, and I can tell that a lot of what he really wants to do is suppressed a little bit. But I still trust the process. Baby steps, you know, they can't release everything. The fact that they exposed that, you know, mercury and acetaminophen can lead to autism, although every neurotoxin they shove in a vaccine, including aluminum and all the other crap that they put in there, is also toxic as well. They did focus on mercury, and mercury is really only in the flu shots. Aluminum's in just about every shot. I wish they'd focus on that. But I'm super excited about it. And yes, acetaminophen can cause autism. I specifically know families who did not vaccinate, very minimal exposure to anything, but had to take Tylenol during their pregnancy, and there they have, you know, a child with autism. Or one of my board members has twins. She didn't vaccinate. She grows everything in her yard, and she had to take Tylenol for preeclampsia every day, and that led to autism. And that's because, you know, it creates oxidative stress on the body. Their livers in the womb cannot, you know, filter out toxins, and it depletes glutathione levels. It passes the blood-brain barrier, regardless of what age you are or if you're in the womb, all those different things. So, you know, I always look for other ways. There's a great homeopathic remedy that's really good for lowering fevers, and that's belladonna. But also, I think to myself, when I was a kid, my mom didn't just give us Tylenol if we had a fever. She stuck us in like a lukewarm bath, or, you know, dressed us down a little bit, or, you know, took a warm cloth and wiped us down. But, you know, there's other ways to lower a fever than to use acetaminophen or any other toxic stuff that's out there.
Yeah, I know that was a real hot topic for a while when, you know, the Trump administration came out with the Tylenol conversation. And of course, you know, people on the left hated it. Other people think it's, you know, denial. But the interesting part is Harvard conducted a study admitting this is true. And Tylenol themselves released a statement saying, pregnant women, please don't take our product. So you have to look at the, you know, the bigger picture. Why would Harvard and Tylenol themselves come out with this information if there's not some truth to it? So obviously it doesn't affect everyone the same way, but even if it affects one person that way, you should treat it as that's not an option for a pregnant person to ever take Tylenol. So, and that's, you know, it's hard to believe. And it's hard for, I think, a lot of people to understand, because when someone says, oh, take the medicine, mentally I'm going, oh, this is for, it's going to help me. It's medicine. But a lot of medicine isn't good for you. And a lot of stuff that we put into our bodies that is meant to help us has the exact opposite effect. So it's really, it's always something that you should do your own research. And I love that you advocate for that. So it's important to understand what can happen when you take these type of products.
You know, there's herbs, there's tinctures, there's homeopathic remedies. There's so many different things out there. Buy an apothecary book. But there's many different things. Homeopathy is really on the rise. It's really being exposed for its benefits. I used to think, because they're like little candy pellets, I used to think to myself, I'm like, what are these things doing for me? Because I remember Noah's doctor using Thuja to detox Noah from heavy metals. But, you know, whatever you can use, belladonna is a really good thing for many things, but it's probably the number one thing for fevers.
Good to know. Recently, in September, you were in Washington, D.C. at an autism roundtable. Can you tell me about that a little bit? What was the topics of conversation, and what's the outcome from that roundtable?
So, yes, I had the distinct honor of being at the autism roundtable for MAHA Institute. And, you know, they had several different roundtables that day, and one was a parent panel. I was actually on the research panel with a few doctors because my life is all around research, and what I do in my organization is, you know, has a lot to do with research and addressing those underlying conditions. So, you know, what came of it? I mean, it got a lot of publicity, and I thought the turnout was amazing, but such a wonderful honor to be able to be on that panel with a lot of these amazing doctors, scientists, and experts.
Yeah, and I think your organization does such great work. It's probably an honor for them to host you there. But let's talk a little bit about autism health, because your day-to-day, you guys do workshops, you have educational programs, community events. Obviously, you're an advocate nationwide, but you do the Health Summit, Autism Walks. Tell us how people can find your company and how they can get involved. I know that you have a subscription-based Substack website where people can donate or do like a premium account. That all goes towards the 501c3. So tell us where we can find you and how can we get involved and support this great mission?
So we do many things. First of all, we are a 501c3, and we are 100% volunteer-based. So other than paying for like marketing and stuff like that, it is mostly a volunteer-based organization, including myself. We provide monthly webinars, expert webinars. So we usually have a doctor on once a month to talk about, you know, some sort of way to address underlying conditions for autism to get them functioning. We also do monthly parent or autism support groups. And so we just started our first one this month. And so we're going to be doing monthly support group. We have the Autism Health Summit, which is our annual event. Our upcoming is April 24th through 26th in San Diego. And it will be our third event. We will have speakers like Aaron Seary, Dr. Toby Rogers, Del Bigtree, you know, we have Ed Clay with CPI, Dr. Dan Goodnow, Dr. Brian Hooker, a lot of the big doctors and scientists in the whole movement. Obviously, our main headline speaker, Aaron Seary, is an attorney, but he has also been, you know, exposing the truth at the Senate hearings, which is amazing, and with Senator Ron Johnson and Dr. Toby Rogers, who's a scientist. Together, you know, they exposed a 10-year study that recently Del Bigtree did a documentary on called An Inconvenient Study. And I think if you go to aninconvenientstudy.com or org, I can't remember. You can watch it for free. And it's about this 10-year study, the couple scientists that came out of Henry Ford Hospital in Michigan. He had asked them to do a study on the link between for unvaccinated versus vaccinated children, because we wanted to see the comparison as to, you know, the health effects, you know, on both. And the results were so astounding on the vaccinated side of the numbers for asthma, allergies, diabetes, autism, ADD, ADHD, all those different things, even paralysis and stuff like that, versus the unvaccinated were really next to nothing. So they had that, all that information already in a database. So they just compiled it, did a study, but then never published it because the main scientist was afraid of the ramifications that would come from it. He knew he would lose his job, probably lose his career. You know, they would come gunning for him. So he refused to publish the study. I think as in non-biased opinion, he wasn't expecting the results that he got. But now that's been exposed. It was exposed at the Senate hearing with Aaron Seary. Del Bigtree exposed it not just on the high wire, but also, you know, doing that documentary and Inconvenient Study. So there's so much coming out. I think it's a really great year. So much is coming to light, and, you know, finally us parents who have been villainized for so long and, you know, called the anti-vaxxers, the conspiracy theorists, and saying that we're a danger to society and so on and so forth, that, you know, we're getting vindicated. And, you know, I believe this is our time.
Yeah, that was going to be the next conversation piece. Is this is such a controversial topic for a lot of people. And again, I think that's the perfect word. It's you were villainized because of your beliefs or your acknowledgement of something that you're dealing with. And it's very unfortunate that society as a whole tends to do that to people when it's something that's a little taboo in their eyes. But I'd imagine you get a ton of backlash yourself, even in your work, and people, you know, do you get a lot of negative comments and people reaching out telling you what you're doing is wrong? Do you see a lot of that negativity in your daily work?
Not really. I mean, a lot of times if I post a Substack, sometimes somebody will respond to it and I might get a nasty comment or a nasty email from it. But other than that, I don't think I have run into, you know, too many issues of, you know, people angry with me and what it is that I have to say. So no, I don't feel like I deal with it as much as like the big doctors and scientists and those who have really like stepped it up. But no, the few comments here and there, I'm like, thanks, have a blessed day.
Yeah.
You know,
there's more important work. Yeah.
Everyone has a right to their opinion, and I value everybody's opinion. And I just want people to have, you know, the facts. That's it.
Awesome. No, 100%. Is there a website that we can visit, or is it just the Substack for now?
Oh, no. So you can go to autismhealth.com, and that's for the nonprofit organization and for the annual conference, or you can go to warriormom.com, and that's for the book, and it also links to my Substack, and the Substack is Autism Warrior Mom.
And I'll definitely put links when we release the video so you guys can find that nice and easy. But right now, if you could tell a young couple, a parent that is just starting this journey with a son or daughter that has been diagnosed on the spectrum, what sort of encouragement and advice would you give to a young family facing this on day one?
Set a clear intention. I always say, you know, the universe is a very powerful thing. If you set a clear intention and you just like feel it and know it down to a cellular level, then, you know, you can create change even in your child, and positive change. And regardless, we are put on these beautiful journeys for a very specific reason. What do we get to learn from it? And, you know, my son gave me purpose. And, you know, there were moments before all of this where I was like, what is my purpose? And, you know, strangely how that happened, but I have no regrets, and it's a beautiful journey, although it's a hard one. But nothing, you know, in life truly worth something comes easy. So they're amazing and beautiful individuals, even just the way they are. I don't say that I claim to have changed my son or fixed him or anything. I just wanted to give him the best life possible.
Yeah. And living with intention is so important, but you know what? I think it's really a true testament too, to the power of circumstances. Like, you would have never gone down this path. You would have never got into this autism nonprofit organization that you created unless this were dropped onto your lap when you were, you know, 2008. So sometimes your life's purpose will be revealed to you by God in a circumstance, in a situation. Yeah. And I love that you not only answered the call, but now you elevated the platform to such a level that other families can benefit from your knowledge, your research, your effort. And it's something that truly needs to be done. And I love that this new administration under Bobby Kennedy is making such an important focus on revealing this information. Because again, I think a lot of us, it's the veil over our eyes and it's sort of out of sight, out of mind. But I think it's important for individuals to have that open mind, to be willing to change their opinion as this new information is being revealed to us. Because I don't think a lot of people are so against it. We just didn't know about it. You know, like I would have never thought Tylenol could cause this. I would never have thought that the medications we're given were the culprits for a lot of these issues. And that's not to say that every medication is bad, obviously, right. But there's a lot of things that we just simply accept without looking into it any further. And it can have these life-changing ramifications. So I think the work that you're doing is tremendous. And I love that you guys are out there really making this your mission. And I think it's just outstanding, the work you're doing. So again, check out autismhealth.com, check out warriormom.com, head over to the Substack, subscribe. That money does go to the day-to-day work that they're doing over there, and get involved in any other way that you can. I can't say enough good things about what you're doing, Tracy. I love it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. So on a last note, if I could say December, especially December 2nd, is, you know, Giving Tuesday. And then we really do a giving campaign throughout the month of December. And we are supporting scholarships for families for supplementation so we can help pay for their supplements, you know, for them to address those underlying conditions. So if anybody can go to autismhealth.com and donate, even the littlest amount really truly makes a big difference.
Yeah, no, that's a great call to action and such an important one, because you got to remember, guys, this money goes to families that are struggling to find answers and to find resources and, you know, doing what Tracy did. They're selling their entire livelihood, their house, their objects, their belongings, because they're fighting for what really matters. And that's that little kid that is going through a battle. So anything you can do to donate is more than greatly appreciated. And just get involved in other ways too. Donate your time, donate your resources. Obviously, money, cash is king when you're going into research, you know, facilities. But check out the San Diego event coming up in, you know, April of 2026. And I'm definitely going to be more active in helping. We work with several other organizations that do great work. But as I mentioned, this is the first one on the autism side of the fence. And this has been very eye-opening to me. And I'm definitely going to get a copy of the Warrior Mom book. I'm assuming Warrior Dads can also read it and learn from it. So, but I love the name. I love the mission. And keep up the great work, Tracy. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing what Autism Health is all about.
Well, thanks, Joe. I really appreciate you having me, and God bless you, and have happy holidays.
Yeah, same. Absolutely. And we'll be in touch, and I'll be promoting Autism Health, Warrior Mom, and of course that Substack. We'll share the links to get in touch with you. And I would say, if you can find it in your heart and in your wallet to donate and to give and to pray and to do all the good things, we certainly would appreciate it. So again, Tracy Slepcevic. That's a tough one to say. I apologize. Thank you for coming on to The Measuring Post. I truly appreciate you.
All right. Thank you. God bless.